In the name of God, the shepherd of our souls. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So when the first Christians gathered for worship, like we're doing here, they gathered around a central symbol. But it was not the cross that came a century or so later. Instead, the image that they painted at the center of the catacombs that they gather around, I just discovered it's all over this vestment as I was standing in front of the gospel. I realized Katie had it all over, was a sheep. Look at these later. A shepherd, often carrying a sheep, the good shepherd. That was the visual symbol of the early Christians. Sheep were a staple part of the first century Mediterranean world. They were at the center of the religious ritual, like the Eucharist for us. And so everybody would have understood the symbol that Jesus is reaching for. For us, it's a little more opaque. The closest I have gotten to a sheep in a decade has been that little concrete slab of a petting zoo up at Stu Leonard's up the road. It's very sweet. I am not an expert on sheep, but I did grow up with one. We had a big family of growing boys, and so we had goats for milk and rabbits and chickens and a beef cow. And in the mix, one year showed up this little lamb, this sheep. And it took a liking to me, and I took a liking to it, so I kind of raised it. Her name was Bo Peep. And taking care of Bo Peep was way different. Sheep are very different than goats. I learned that they really do connect to the voice. That if the sheep ever heard my voice, if Bo Peep heard my voice, she would just be on me like a second, in a second. She just had to be right where I was if she could be. In fact, walking around the barnyard or the yard, very often she would follow so close that her chin would hit my heels as I walked, that she followed that close. You see that in a flock. They just follow one another. They're also very curious, mostly for the blade of grass that's like 3 inches in front of their nose. So they're always moving, which means they can wander off, and they do. And then you see them suddenly discover that they're not with anyone anymore. They go into an immediate panic and run around and get all excited and afraid. That's the image. Calm when they are connected and panicked when they are separated. That's what Jesus is leaning into here. He makes the point, he's making it about how God is what is with us as usual, makes the point about God and the sheep. No one can snatch these sheep out of the Father's hand. It can't be done. Now, that is a bold statement. What Jesus is declaring is that the universe is a very safe place. Because we are always connected to our source, whether we know it or not. I say that's a big and daring claim and a bold leap of faith because I feel like me, the world does not always feel that safe. We know there are no guarantees. As much as we try to make them up, they're not real. We know that we can't control much beyond the next step and barely that, even though we try. And we make it far worse by over-controlling, trying to fill our fear. We hoard, we dominate, we manipulate, we abuse. And then our sense of separation makes us panicked or even violent. This is the source of all this, this sense of separation. So when Jesus says, follow me, I don't think he is inviting us to some kind of moral improvement project or to receive the sacraments regularly, do anything that we can actually achieve. Instead, he is asking us to take this much bigger, daring leap into this way of being, of trust, of presence, of being present in presence that he practices. It's meant to change our whole way of being in the world, the one that moves from scarcity and danger to abundance and safety. It's not an offering of protection from the suffering of life, but a way of experiencing it, a way of going through it that understands life to be held in the arms of the shepherd, even through the darkest night of the soul. I was reading this week that World War II prisoners, prisoners of war, people held in concentration camps, when they heard that some of the camps were starting to be liberated by Allied forces, they reported that it changed their whole way of being. Not because they thought they might be liberated, they hoped that, but they just to know that liberation was happening somewhere, that it was possible, changed the way they were, their lives were, even with no guarantee. How we imagine the world makes a huge difference with how we experience it and how we build it. God shepherding us through the world, imagine that. It's in our epistle reading for today, Revelation. It's how the early Christians imagined their world. They picture it at the end of time. Every tribe, every language, every people gathered, this wholeness of all, gathered in worship around God's throne. And on the throne, you know, what is it? Meh. You know, it's a lamb, but not a lamb. It's the lamb who is the shepherd, and the shepherd who reigns and protects and holds and contains and offers. It's this picture of a very different world than the one we know. But for them, that was not a picture of the end of time. That was a picture of this time lived a different way. How we bring that peaceable kingdom of God, and reimagining the way we live it, the world now. That's the point also of the first reading we read from Acts. Resurrection, the point of the story is, always kind of looking for the meaning of it, is not this one-time event with Jesus. It starts to ripple out and keep happening. Here it is with Dorcas, with Tabitha. A disciple, that's an important word. Somebody who follows. A woman, that's hugely important, that detail. A woman is a no one, a no thing in the first century. So to be written right back into the center of the story saying, no, someone who lives this way is alive. Peter's like, shows her alive. See, this is what happens for those who live that new life now. At our Tuesday Bible study, we were talking about this scripture and saying, well, is Tabitha really dead? Is she in a coma? Does it matter? And we came to say, well, it doesn't matter how you read it. Always the point of the story is the point of the story. What's the point? Well, how does resurrection show up in our lives? How do disciples live this new life? And actually, the how is really answered by each of our lives as we walk through the week. There isn't a here's the three easy steps. But it makes a difference how we are walking. Someone at the end of the study said, isn't it true that we are all just walking each other home? Yes, it is. But think what a difference it makes to walk each other home in a connected, beloved universe, a safe place, or in a separated one. How we imagine that affects every step we take. We are in an evolution with God in this world. That is, I would say, what resurrection means, is this constant opening up and liberating of our sight, our insight. This coming alive to the liberating peace of God. Even now, in the midst of all the anxiety and catastrophe of this world. It's our core mandate, to use that word again. That is it. How we imagine the kingdom of heaven and how it comes to earth in us is how we build the world in love. So while I'm not and can't explain how, except that it happens step by step, what I can say is that it always starts in close. Anything that changes the world has to start here, or it can't happen. And of course, we love for it to start out there because this is the hardest work. So that's just going to be a refrain forever of start, you know, the work starts here. Put on your oxygen mask first. And I want to do that today by inviting us into the fourth scripture we heard. We hear it every Sunday, the psalm. This Sunday, it was Psalm 23, probably the most beloved psalm, which often for me means the one I listen to the least because I've heard it so many times. But I want to invite you back into it as a prayer, something that has been prayed for 2,500 years, as an offering, as a kind of a mandate, as a compass needle to how you can explore this week, how you're experimenting and experiencing the Good Shepherd at the center of your own life. And I'm using the prayer book translation, but from the order of St. Helena's Psalter, which opens up the language to us a little bit. Let us pray. O God, you are my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You make me lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still water. You revive my soul and guide me along right pathways for the sake of your name. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. Amen. May it be so, and may we make it so, as we imagine and build the kingdom of God in love. Amen.